So let's go for it. You've got your worksheet. So you're going to create a worksheet called the Sevens Game. So let's play the Sevens Game. Often in the Bible, the sacraments as well as in catechism, we come across important numbers. Most especially, we come across three. Like three would be the Blessed Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And we've got seven sacraments, as well as 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. Today we'd like to focus upon the number seven. How often in catechism, the sacrament of life, as well as in sacred scripture, do we encounter the number seven? Quite often, in fact. We have the seven sacraments, then the seven capital sins. Still more, we have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Biblically, we can mention the seven last words of Jesus on the cross. Then, there are the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As a sequel, can you cite the seven times that Mary actually spoke in the Bible? So, are you ready? Let's play the seven games. So, we're going to name the sacrament and then give a short explanation. And then at the end, we'll summarize it. So, as Catholics, there are seven sacraments. And for us to get to heaven, the easiest way is by receiving the sacraments frequently and fervently. That's the easiest way. So you want to get to heaven, you're going to receive a confirmation, God willing, in a few months. But then receiving the sacraments frequently until you get to heaven. So let's start with the first sacrament. And that sacrament is baptism. So write it down and then give yourself a little bit of space in which I can fill in the gaps. All right, write down next to it, you can put a colon, which means two dots, right? You know your grammar well, that means a clause will follow that, right? Baptism, it transforms us into living temples of the Blessed Trinity. How about that? Father Broom is waxing eloquent, right? So baptism transforms us into living temples of the Blessed Trinity. Wow. Say that at home to your mom, she'll probably have a heart attack. Where'd you get that eloquence, huh? So what it means is once you're baptized, you'll become a daughter of God or a son of God. You become a sister to Jesus Christ, and your best friend is the Holy Spirit. And then Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you become a living tabernacle of the Trinity. Extraordinary, think about it. If you really thought about that, you would stop sinning. Because we don't want to lower our dignity, do we? So by sinning, we're lowering our dignity by committing sin. So baptism. Okay, the second one would be the sacrament of Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Let's give a good definition for that. Holy Communion is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Now reflect upon all the actions that you can carry out on planet Earth. All the things you can do. What do you think would be the greatest thing you could do while still living on this planet? Probably thinking, win the lottery and win $1 billion. Become the best friend of Elon Musk. You know, oh boy, he could probably fatten our wallet, right? Watch the Yankees win 4 in a row and beat the Astros, right? All those are human pursuits that maybe have some relative importance, no? But the most important thing we can do in this world is to receive Holy Communion with great love. Amen? What do you think about that? So if we're receiving Holy Communion with great love is the greatest thing we can do. And the best thing they can do in preparing themselves for confirmation is go to Mass and receive Communion. Right? But really, that's the most important thing you can do. Going to Mass, of course, on Sunday, maybe during the week, and receiving Communion with love, there you're preparing yourself to receive confirmation well. Yep. So of all the actions you can do this side of heaven, receiving Communion is by far the greatest. Maybe a few of the boys think of that will want to become priests, I hope. I'm going to have to probably confess about 150 of those people in Rosario. I'm about the only priest. And the church is packed. Help! Yeah, the harvest is rich, the laborers are few. You know what you've done today? Got up at about 5, prayed for an hour and a half, okay? And then I did 2 online talks, one in English, one in Spanish. And from 10 to 12, I heard 2 hours of confessions at a quick pace. I said Mass at 12. At 2 o'clock, I did a wedding, okay? And I've been hearing confessions for an hour. Then after this, I've got more confessions. Then after that, I've got my 3rd Mass. Then after that, I got more confessions. In 3.5 years, I'll be 70. What? Well, I'm not lying. You think when you're that age, you're probably going to be in an old folks' home, right? I hope not, no? But I tell you, it's great. The fishing is good, no? You know my priest? A fishing we will go, a fishing we will go. I hold the merry, oh, a fishing we will. Right? We're going spiritually fishing. Come along. Join the Spiritual Fishermen's Club, huh? Yeah, so we have to pray for vocations, right? Because harvest is rich, laborers are too few. So the Eucharist. And the third would be confirmation. Confirmation, right down next to that, you become a soldier for Christ. Que viva Cristo Rey, que viva la generala del ejército. Amen. So long live Christ the King. So you're confirmed, you're a soldier for Christ, fighting for his kingdom, fighting for his glory, and fighting for the salvation of souls. All right, those are the first three sacraments. What I'd like you to do is write at the margin of those three, write down sacraments of initiation. Sacraments of initiation. So when you receive confirmation, you have received the sacraments of initiation, and you're called to be adult, mature Catholic Christians. At least we hope, right? Most of them don't feel as if they're adults yet, huh? Well, technically, that's what the church wants. Once you're confirmed, you know, you're a mature Christian Catholic adult. You should be knowing your faith, loving your faith, spreading your faith. That should be our ideal. Let's aim high, okay? Aim high. The law of spiritual gravity pulls us down. So let's aim as high as we can, huh? All right, the next two, fourth would be, write down, holy matrimony. It's interesting, I just did a wedding of a girl that I had in my first communion class. When I saw her, I said, wow, 15 years ago I had that little girl, now she's getting married. Which is good, she's getting married in the church, no? Good sign. No? I said, you don't remember, but I remember you. You were in my class, no? She said, I remember you, Father. Oh, thanks be to God, no? So holy matrimony is this. It is God blessing a man and a woman. In the sacrament for the benefit of children too. Right? You can't say, I want to get married. I am really in love with my future husband, but I certainly can't stand kids. Okay, no, I don't want to have kids. Do you know that would be invalid? That would actually be invalid. Get married, have kids, no? Not to avoid them, to have them. Okay, then after that you have holy orders. Holy orders. If you put next to holy orders is the priesthood. The priesthood. Did you know that there are three different levels of the priesthood? Did you know that? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. You have a deacon. So we have a deacon now with us. He's teaching right behind me now, okay? Deacon, priest. Who has the fullness of the priesthood? Hannah, you know? You're feigning ignorance. What? Yeah, you got it. Good. So the bishop has the fullness of the priesthood. Have you ever gone to a confirmation with maybe one of your brothers or sisters or aunts? Ever gone? You've been? The bishop comes in with a big hat, right? It's called the mitre, and he comes in with the, you know what that is called? The crozier. And he's got a ring. Why do you think he has that stick? Yeah, he's like a shepherd, and we're called to be a sheep. And I thought you were going to say, because if the confirmation students don't behave well, he'll whack them. I haven't seen it yet, but it could happen, right? I hope not. Okay? Keep them in order, no? Keep the wolves away. Well, in a certain sense, to ward off the wolves. There are a lot of spiritual wolves out there. Yeah. All right, so holy orders. And now we have the last two would be sacrament of confession. Give you a good analogy. So what medicine does to the sick body, confession does to the sick soul. You like that? Good one, huh? Yeah, that's a good one to memorize, huh? So what medicine does to the sick body, confession does to the sick soul. So when we commit a sin, our soul is getting sick. So we go to confession, and that heals our soul of sickness. So communion nourishes us. Confession heals us. So if you want to have a healthy soul, you go to communion and you go to confession. You got that? I repeat. If you want to have a healthy soul, you want to go to communion and confession as often as possible. You ever go to some of those gyms, LA Fitness or the Planet Fitness? You know, people go there, you know, they're working out every day. No? Lifting weights, no? Doing the rowing machine, no? The bicycle, maybe hitting the pool, no? Which is pretty good. You want to have a strong physique. I wonder how much time do you spend having strong muscles? How about having a strong soul? Understand? Yeah, you know, you can have people going to the gym every day for 3 hours. Maybe lose a few pounds to get some muscles. But then they're not even going to pray one Hail Mary at night. Ah. What a marked contrast, huh? Nothing wrong with trying to be physically fit. Nothing wrong with that. Actually, we should, because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But we want to be spiritually fit. Amen? Spiritually fit. That's why we're coming here at least once a week, huh? All right, so let's move into the last sacrament, and that would be the anointing of the sick. Okay, so this sacrament helps us in our suffering and sickness. To patiently carry our cross with Christ. Yeah. As in our suffering and sickness, to patiently carry our cross with Christ. So I'd like you to do next to number 4 and 5. Put in the margin next to number 4 and 5, sacraments of service. Sacraments of service. So you get married, it's for the service of the family. You become a priest, it's you're serving the church, right? Yeah. So marriage, they're serving the family, and now holy orders serving the church. The last two sacraments would be sacraments, put in the margin, sacraments of healing. Sacraments of healing. Some people are afraid when they see a priest coming into the hospital, especially if he's dressed like me. Come in my religious black habit, and their grandmother is in ICU. I come in, and they see me, and so they associate me with their grandmother dying. It's true. And I tell the people, I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. Amen? I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. I don't work at Forest Lawn, I work at St. Peter Chanel. There's a big difference, huh? So those are the seven sacraments. Here's a $100 question. Which of those sacraments can you receive only once? Good question, right? I don't think anyone knows. Actually, I will tell you, you're going to be shooting in the dark, huh? Okay, holy matrimony. Thank you for bringing that up. Diana, you are an expert on marital matters. Do you think she's right or erroneous in that brief comment? What? So he's wrong with that. No? So you want to dump your husband and marry another guy?
No.
You get tired of him because you get bad breath. So you might as well boot him out, huh? Or he was slender and always got a beer belly. Oh, I don't want him. He's got a gut, no? No, you're right, but I don't know if you know the reason why. Explain.
I don't really know.
Okay, the reason why is this. You can marry again. So say for example, you marry and your husband dies when he's 35. And you're 33, so you can get married again. So you become a widow or a widower. Widow is feminine. Widower would be the masculine, right? You can get married again. Not that you have to. And I think that, say, for example, you're 33, you lose your husband. Probably best. There's a lot of temptations out there. Make sure you find the right guy, though, okay? Otherwise, it's going to be torture. And not that you have to. Even if you're 60 and you're husband dies, you still could get married to someone who's never been married or someone who's lost his spouse. But it's usually more complicated because you've got kids and grandchildren and you have in-laws, but it's not wrong. So marriage, you actually can get married again. I mean, what you're saying is right. You're thinking once you're married, you're married. Your idea was right, but in case of a death, then marriage can be done again. How about this? So you get tired of becoming a Catholic, and you become a Jehovah's Witness, and they take you down to the river, and they dump you in the river, and they baptize you again. Is that a real baptism? It happens. More often than you're aware of. Hey, finally, you have found the right church. Let's go down to the river, and we'll dump you in the river, and we'll pull you up, and finally you're baptized. That's what they'll say, right? Or Mormons. No, once you're baptized as a Catholic, you can be baptized again. Once you're baptized, you have what's called an indelible mark. It's called a character that's impressed upon your soul, and you're Catholic forever. Did you know among the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, most of the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons, they used to be Catholics? Did you know that? What does that mean? A very poor catechesis on the part of those Catholics. They never learned the Catholic faith. If you walk down the street on Sunday, you're going to be meeting the Jehovah Witnesses. dos mexicanos y seguramente eran católicos en Spanish. Surely they were Catholics before. Almost certainly. What are they going to say? Well, we finally found the true faith. They say that. And the reason why is because they never really learned their faith properly, is what we're trying to do, at least an hour every week for a few months. No? Yes, Jessica.
Can you get confirmed again?
Good question. Can you be confirmed again? The wheels are turning. What do you think?
I think...
Nope. Now, once you're confirmed, it's just you're confirmed forever.
So baptism and confirmation?
Yeah, and there's one more.
Holy orders?
Holy orders. Yeah, once you're ordained a priest, you're not ordained another time. So those are three sacraments you can receive only once. Yes? Good question. Can you receive communion often? Did you know about 100 years ago they would receive communion maybe twice a year? Did you know that? Back maybe 125 years ago they received Holy Communion maybe twice a year. Do you know how often we receive communion, Jimena? How often? Every Sunday? Just on Sunday? Just on Sunday? Do you receive communion just on Sunday? Just on Sunday? How often do you receive communion? They receive communion every day. You see how holy they are? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, they receive communion every day. You could actually receive it twice a day. You go to two full mass, you can go twice a day. So that's the new canon law of past 40 years. Now, with respect to these sacraments, the graces you receive depend upon you and your disposition. Okay, let me give you an example. Like it's Sunday. Okay, Sunday you go to Mass. But your mom is kind of dragging you to Mass, okay? I'm dragging you on. You're fussing and you're kind of crying. You don't want to go. They're dragging you into Mass. And you arrive 10 minutes late. And you're angry during Mass. You're saying, oh no, that priest, he's going to give a long homily. Ah, ah. My stomach is growling. What are we going to have for a brunch, huh? And you're looking at a guy that you want to be your boyfriend. Oh, look at that good looking guy. Hey, que guapo, eh? I'm checking them. You go out and receive communion, then even before the blessing, you run out as if your pants were on fire. Okay, that's one situation. Okay, another situation. You come in Mass a half hour early. You're paying attention. You're listening. You're singing with the choir. You're focusing upon what the priest is doing. You receive communion with your hands folded, with a lot of love. You stay afterward for 25 minutes and a half hour to pray the rosary. Is there a difference between the first situation and the second? Hello? Light years difference. Light years difference. Light years. Almost infinite. First one, okay, you may be going to receive... You're going to receive like a drop. The second one is like receiving the ocean. How about that? Big difference, huh? Like a little thimble. Maybe receive just a little bit. The other one's going to be like an ocean. Can you imagine the difference between Judas Iscariot receiving communion and the Blessed Virgin Mary? Was there a difference? He received communion, right? Judas Iscariot, then he went out to betray Jesus. Mary received communion from St. John the Evangelist. Imagine the fervor of Mary. It's called the sacramental dispositive grace. So the better you're prepared, the more graces you're going to receive. So before they're confirmed, they're all going to make the best confession in their lives. Right, Belinda? Yeah, well, probably the day before you're confirmed, still a while, I'm going to try to make sure that they're confessed the day before. Because I don't want any of you to receive confirmation, you know, in the state of mortal sin. That's the last thing we want, right? Yes? Great question. What do you think? Yes. I'll give you an example. I think most of you know that I have a mother that's still living in January. She'll be 92 if she's, you know, she's around. I went to visit her a couple of times in the past few weeks because her health wasn't that good. Now, when I was with her for about a week, and she was declining. So what I did was I gave her the anointing of the sick. What I did was, I'm her son, but I heard her confession. I gave her the anointing of the sick. Then I gave her Holy Communion. Then me and my older brother, who flew in from Florida, who was a spine surgeon, we both prayed the rosary and the chaplet at night. So with that, my mom said, I'm ready to go. So if God was going to call her, she was ready. So within a week, I actually gave the sacrament three times because she was declining. So one time, but I noticed this. Every time I gave it to her, she got better. I noticed that. She's feeling really weak. I gave it to her, and within about 15 minutes, I was talking with her, joking around, talking to my brother, talking about a lot of interesting things. So that's a sacrament that you can receive more than once. Okay, say for example, you're married and you're about to have your second child, and you're going to have, you know what a C-section is? Any girls know what a C-section is? So the baby has to come out through an operation, right? So if you have a C-section, you can ask the priest to come and give the anointing of the sick before. You know why? Because when you receive anesthesia, you know what that is, anesthesia? There's always a risk that you might get too much, okay? Operations, there's always some risk. Even though the doctors here are very good, but there's always a certain amount of a risk. So before, if you have an operation, you can come to me, Father, I'm going to be operated on. Can you give me the anointing of the sick? I can give it to you. Even before an operation. Okay. All right, so there you have it. Those are the seven sacraments in a nutshell. Huh?
Father,
yes?
Regarding the anointing of the sick, would you give the anointing of the sick to a woman that is going to go through surgery for vanity?
Oh, vanity. Oh, ha. Ah.
Let's say she wants
to get rid of
so many wrinkles,
or she wants to add on to her body
in a certain area, would you give the anointing of the sick? Yeah, she's
going to
require it.
Good question. Well, honestly, I think these girls are very young and attractive girls here, but maybe hit the late 30s or 40s, you start to get gray hair and wrinkles. I don't think that would be wrong for the purpose of being attractive toward your spouse, your husband, no? But if you just want it so the other guys are going to be whistling at you that are not your spouse, then that would be wrong. But to maintain a certain physical beauty for your spouse, I think that's good. So I would say, I think I would give it. But I personally, I mean, I'm not a woman, but if I were women here, I would not do it because there are so many people dying of hunger. Did I talk about the quinceañera here? Well, I talked to you about that. You heard my opinion. Probably you girls are angry at me now, right? But it's good that you heard another viewpoint. You never heard anyone talk about the quinceañera like me. You never will, no? But if you don't hear a viewpoint that I'm giving to you, it's incomplete. And I'll defend myself. You know, people dying of hunger, you're going to be throwing away $30,000 in one day? I got problems with that. Put in the bank and your college education for 4 years, Cal State, Long Beach, it's done. Right? Or give some of the money to the poor people dying in Tijuana or in those slums in Manila. What do you call them? What are those things they have, the dumps in Manila? Or forget the name of them. But help out some poor people rather than worrying about your face, huh? Okay, so let's move on to the... this is going to be fun. The seven capital sins. You ready? Seven capital sins. It's going to be interesting. Okay, put below seven capital sins, like a definition of, would be the bad tendencies we have because of original sin. The bad tendencies we have because of original sin. So I'll give you the capital sin, then they'll give you the opposite virtue. What do you think? Yeah. Capital sin, I'll give you the opposite virtue we want to try to practice. All right. I'll give you the first. The first is called gluttony. Gluttony. I've never heard that before. In Spanish is called la gula, right? La gula. Never heard of that before, huh? Yeah, it's running out of ink. Okay. Called gluttony. Huh. What's gluttony? Spell out la gula. Well, let's write down a definition. Isn't that a good definition? It's a disordered desire to eat and drink. It's a disordered desire to eat and drink. Disordered to eat and drink. Here's a question. Do you eat to live or live to eat? Did you hear me? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Think about that, baby, huh? Well, I'm getting you thinking, huh? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Hannah, what do you think? What? Okay, so you eat to live, you have the opposite virtue, and you can put the word temperance. So the opposite of gluttony would be, the opposite would be temperance. So do you eat to live or live to eat? So if we're eating so that we can live, okay, that's the virtue of temperance. Or we're just living to eat, that's gluttony. St. Paul calls it the god of the belly, el dios de la panza. Yeah. St. Paul mentions that. It's a very serious problem in our country. It is. for many reasons. But one of the reasons is that if you go to any other country, you go to Vietnam, you go to the Philippines, you go to Mexico or Guatemala, you simply don't have that much. Whereas here, there's so much. And to cope with anxiety and pressure and frustration, we have recourse to eating. Right? There's a lot of frustration, we're anxious, we're nervous, so we seek our refuge at McDonald's or Taco Bell or Chuck E. Cheese, huh? Or Taco Bell, if you like, you know? Whereas we should be seeking our refuge in God, right? Rather than in other things. Now, your friend Thomas Aquinas says this: sin is against reason. So if sin is against reason, ever happen? You sit down to eat, and you're eating, and you're eating, and you're eating, and you're eating, and you're full. But you keep eating. You keep eating and eating, even though you're full, and you keep eating. Why on earth would we keep eating? We're already full. Because it tastes so good, right? Thanksgiving is coming up, huh? Well, we know, okay, we know we're satisfied, but why would we keep eating? Because it tastes so good. And that's as a result of original sin. Okay, let's move on to the next. Write down lust. Lust is a disordered desire for sexual pleasure. That's a good, succinct, Thomistic definition. Disordered desire for sexual pleasure. What would be the opposite virtue? The opposite virtue would be that of chastity. That's why we'd like to, hopefully this year, that we're able to give them a chastity ring, right? We've done that for many years, but during the pandemic, we're not able to do it. Chastity ring of the Blessed Mother, you give that to your husband on your wedding night. No relations, they get married, you got the ring on, and it's a constant reminder. That's helpful, isn't it? And your friends are going to say, hey, don't, you're old school, you're living in the Middle Ages, wake up and smell the coffee. No. We got to be countercultural, we got to follow Christ and not follow the mob. Right? You got to follow Christ even though it's countercultural. We're swimming against the current. We got to do what's right, even though we might be in the minority. Yeah. We might be in the minority. Huh? Do what's right. Luce Miller and Belinda, don't you think it would be good if they could all wait? I'm going to ask my two helpers here. Don't you think it would be a good idea if they could wait to have a boyfriend or girlfriend after they have their college degree? What do you think? Luzmila, Belinda? Hello, anyone home? Let me check to see if the coast is clear, huh? I mean, that's the ideal. Okay, you graduate 21, and then you fall in love with your beloved. You're married in 2 years? Okay, you're married at 23. You got a college degree. You're a professional. You got money in the bank. Your future husband or wife is also well-educated, college degree. Don't you think that's a good idea? I know a lot of you don't agree with me, but it's good to hear another viewpoint. And if I were your biological father, I'd have long talks with you. Look, you know, you're intelligent. You got a lot of gifts. You got a lot of talents. You got a lot of guys that maybe want to date you or girls that want to date you. Okay, fine. Hold your horses. Hold those horses a little bit, okay? And then you know you got your college degree. You're a nurse or maybe you're a doctor. Or you got a degree in business. And you know you're falling in love with a Catholic that has the same education as you have. It's going to work. But those who get married really young, usually they have more problems because of a lack of maturity. And this generation, probably when your parents got married, they were probably pretty young. But now this generation, they're getting married later. So, getting married, or maybe becoming a priest, okay? Think about that, no? Getting married, or your vocation, is the most important decision in your life if you're called to the married life. The last thing you want to do is choose the wrong guy. Then you're stuck with him for 55 years. You barely put up with him for a year. What about the next 54 years? Now you want to marry someone that you're going to be loving until death do you part, right? They've never done this, but I'd say, before you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, come to me to ask me to give my judgment on the matter. It hasn't happened yet. But I think your parents and as well as the priest would be the best judge. Why? Because I'm not going to be following emotions or simply you got a beautiful babe there or some. But rather, I'm using what? Faith and reason. Yeah. So if you think about having a boyfriend, present them to me and we'll check it out, okay? It would be a good idea. My thought would be, is this guy going to help you to get to heaven? And when you have kids, are you going to be a ladder by which you're going to be able to get to heaven? And a lot of the girls are thinking about the five B's. The five B's you want for a husband. Brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks, huh? Like that? Repeat that, no? It's the five B's. Brains, brawn, beauty, and big bucks. Big bucks, big bucks. No? You're kind of laughing at that, but a lot of girls, that's what they got brains, good looking, got muscles, and they got a big... Brawn means muscular, brawn. Okay? And big bucks means he's got... They can buy a nice Maserati, a nice house in Beverly Hills, you know, a nice yacht there off Newport Beach, huh? Yeah, but the guy doesn't know how to make the sign of the cross yet. No, that's not the right choice, is it? No. He can't even make the sign of the cross. There he is. He's got all these things, but he's a spiritual zero. He's a spiritual zonker. No, you want to make someone that has Catholic faith, practicing it, more than having a lot of money. Even though, you know, the Beatles used to sing, "Money can't buy me love," right? All right, so let's move into from gluttony to lust. Ah, here's one. Avarice. Ever hear that word, avarice? Avaricia. Some of you know Spanish better than English, right? Avaricia. How do we spell it? Okay. A-V-A-R-I-C-E. Avarice. Okay, let's give a definition for that. What is avarice? Avarice is this. It's a disordered desire for material things. Disordered desire for material things. You want a good example? Black Friday. You know what happens on Black Friday? Never heard of Black Friday?
Yeah.
What happens? So starting, it's going to be what, about a month, 5 weeks. Thanksgiving night, you have long lines of people waiting outside the store to rush in to shop until they drop. You know, I don't know, about 10 years ago in New York, there was a Walmart, and they opened up the doors for Black Friday, and people rushed in like a stampede of buffaloes, you know? And they ran over one of the workers, and they killed him. Yeah. Check it out on YouTube. And then the owner of the franchise said, we're going to close the doors to mourn for one of the workers, and no, we want to buy. That shows where this country is heading. Yeah? Material things are more important than the human person. That's what it says. Read between the lines. It's a sad story, but it's real. Yes?
Mothers, those women that lately they rent their womb and then they give their child because money is more.
Oh, isn't that sad?
Very sad. It's more common, more and more.
So your girl can go in the hospital there or a laboratory and have a baby that's already been conceived in a test tube and put in your womb, and then that baby is born, and you sell it for $10,000. I mean, sad to say that's happening. I don't want to, you know, scandalize you, but that's the world in which we live. No? Yeah. Called surrogate motherhood. Yeah. Yeah. So we ought to have long conversations with these kids, right? To kind of point them in the right direction. Yeah. There's a lot of confusion out there. We've never lived with so much information, but we've never lived with so much confusion as today. We have a lot of information. Whatever you want to know, you can find it by Googling it in within about a minute. But there's so much confusion. That's why we want to keep insisting that they don't bite into this LGBT agenda, right? That ideology. I mean, God created you a girl or a boy. That's the way it is. Amen? Right? I created you a girl or a boy, and thank God for that. And you're always going to be a beautiful girl, a nice boy. That's the way God created you. Right? Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve, right? So be clear on that. Everything I'm telling you, you go to school, they're going to be telling you the exact opposite. Where is this priest coming from? He's coming from the Middle Ages, no? He's reading Geoffrey Chaucer Canterbury Tales, huh? So we have to keep instilling in them their proper sexual identity. You're either a boy or a girl. And if you're a girl, you marry a boy, you're a boy, you're going to be marrying a girl in the church. That's it. Is that complicated? Is that complicated at all? But they're going to try to confuse you at school. You know, have the antenna up. Pick up the vibes. I had a mother that came up to me, Filipina mother, that came up to me after my class 2 weeks ago. She's going nearby high school. She said, in the Spanish class where her daughter goes, they're teaching the origin of LGBT, who's the founder. And they're walking around the school there, and boys have skirts on. In a high school right around the corner here. Right around the corner. And the mother said, Father, because I talked to the mother about a year ago in Holy Family in the retreat I gave. And they said, look, you might think about homeschooling, but she didn't take my advice. Then she came up almost crying to me, Father, and the daughter said, Mom, take me out. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be homeschooled. I told the mother a year ago, she didn't obey me, as most people don't, until things like this happen. Do you want to say something? Well, the thing was, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I just know this, that the LGBT agenda is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, already starting in elementary school, okay? Except one state, Florida, you've got a really good governor there. His name is Ron DeSantis. He says you can't talk about sexuality until you're in fourth grade. We need to fight against Disney, and he won. But aside from that, especially California is a very liberal state. Very liberal state. You have to make sure that you're not accepting some of these things that they're teaching you. Right? They have to accept that what you're hearing is not always going to be the truth. And talk it out with your parents and talk it out with a priest or a catechist, and we'll give you good advice. But I repeat, and I keep repeating this. Okay, you girls, you're girls. Pretty, attractive girls here. Boys, you're men. That's the way God made you. And be thankful for that. Now, why has God given you breasts and a womb? Have a baby. What? You have the baby milk, no? Your mom gave it to you. All our moms gave us that. Why do you have a womb here? To have a baby. Yeah, one day becoming mothers is going to be about the greatest thing in the world. What does your mom say? Your mom says the greatest thing is that you were born. Right? I know your mom. Mom may say, your mom battles with you because you're teenagers, but your mom loves you. And the fact that she's a mom, having children, that is their glory. Right? Isn't that true with you? You got three boys. I mean, you're praying for them. You love them. You're battling with them. But they're the love of your life after God, right? Isn't that true? Yeah. That's the way it should be. Amen? So a pretty good class, right? So I think we'll follow up on this next week. We only got through a few of the seven, but bring in your sheet next week, and then we'll see you at Mass on Sunday. We'll say Hail Mary, that all of us will always be willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, be with you. Amen. God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, good.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.